Welcome back to our 101 series. Jake is about to lead us through a brilliant message. And I love that he states that basics are different to fundamentals. Basics are not exactly the same thing. A basic is something you learn at the beginning, but fundamentals will always be tested. Any building before you add on to it or build more, the foundations will always be tested. Today is about some foundations. Why don't you listen to this podcast and see how it can increase your platform for the things that God wants to build?
We've been on a little series called 101 at Night Service. And I love the concept of basics, of fundamentals and all that stuff, right? Because I think sometimes it's something that gets overlooked, but yet it's something that we always come back to, because it's not just a basic thing that you just graduate from and move on from, right? And I feel like sometimes as a Christian, when you hear basics, fundamentals, you're like, okay, cool, I got this. I've been around for a while. I know a few Bible verses. Come on, let's get to the meat. I want some deep theological, like, add something to me because I already got this. Here's the thing. This stuff isn't just basic stuff that we learn once and move on from. Big difference in basics and foundations. See, foundations are always tested for strength. And this is why I think that even in a series like this that you go, oh, 101, basic, you're still going to get something out of it. Because before you add anything to a building, all you do is you test the foundation. Foundation being, Jesus saved your life. God loves you so much that he died for you while you were still a sinner. Do you love him? Seasoned Christian, do you love him as much today as you did the first moment that you met him? Because if not, we've got to dig and go, what's going on? This is a foundation. This isn't basic. This isn't something you graduate from. Bringing people to know who he is, it's not something you ever move on from. This isn't first grade Christianity. These are foundations. So we're going to dig into some foundations tonight. We're going to let God actually test our foundations, right? Because a foundation, you don't even know if it's strong until it actually, like, shakes you. Something in life shakes you. It has to be tested by something. And I think we always think, oh, if I just get more experience in life, then I can go out and do more for God. But I found that experiences, for me, they do more to shake me and shape me than they do to prep me. And it's in those moments that I actually find out, are my foundations strong enough? See, moments like this are actually a gift for us. Because life will come at us. The only question is, how strong is what we've built on? So we're going to get into some foundations. And I felt that we had to set that tone, because nobody needs to shut off, whether you're brand new, whether you've been here a million times. This message is for you. We're going to get something out of it. So come on, let's go. Foundations, right? I think one of the first things that you see with Jesus, the first thing he actually gives us, right? He gives us salvation, which is, I've paid your debt, okay? You're debt-free. You don't have to live with the weight of the things that have happened, whatever, right? That's cool. But right away, he seems to immediately go, okay, now go out. You're like, what? We just had this, it was a great moment. No, go out. Yeah, but I need to memorize more verses. No, I said go. See, I said go out, but I don't know. No, I said go out. It's like, and he doesn't just say go out. Like, when we go to, again, foundational 101 stuff, one of the most basic things he says is, go make disciples of all nations. Like, okay, yes, that's a basic lesson, but are you reading that? He said all nations. Like, that's intimidating. And I think that there's this concept that we know we're supposed to do as Christians, right? And we go, okay, yeah, I'm meant to bring people into this thing, in this grace, in this hope, in this love that I found. But, like, how do I do that? Like, what does that look like? How do I step out? Like, oh, you're the light of the world. And I think so often what I found is the thing that prevents me from stepping out, right? Because I still struggle with that. I've even asked God this question, what do you want me to do? Like, is it preaching and that's it? Is it like grow group leading? What do you want me to do? And when I've actually asked those questions, here's what I found. I found that the thing that is often keeping me from stepping out and being living in the light is the second that I do, this thing appears. And it's actually present on this stage with me. And it's right here. It's my shadow. See, the moment you step into the light, you've got a shadow. And the problem is, the shadow for me, it represents more than just this. It's my past. The shadow is the things that I wish that I could change about myself that are just like, it's like they, I only feel like I'm aware of them when I get on a stage and put a mic in my hand. I feel like they only appear when I decide I'm going to start having conversations with my coworkers or start bringing people in my family into this faith that I found. All of a sudden, I'm in the light, but right there, my shadow. And it never leaves. And I try so hard. I'm like, I just want this part of me to not exist. God, if this didn't exist, I'd be way more effective for you. You know I would if I wasn't struggling, if I could just live a sinless life. Because that's what people think Jesus is actually here to deliver you to. But guess what? We'll never be perfect until we get to heaven. Like, as long as you're on this earth, he's going to tell you, step into the light, and that shadow's going to be there. And I think because of the fact that it's always there, we spend more of our effort trying to understand what happened in our past, fighting to make sense of things that have happened, fighting to make sense of the things that we are or are not. And I want to talk to you out of that concept. If you're writing a title right now, I want you to write this down. Shadow boxing. Shadow boxing. So if you don't know, shadow boxing is an exercise that's often done by fighters to prep them for a fight, right? But when you look it up, it's really funny because it's just a routine they do. When you actually read what it says they prep and only one person is required for this kind of a fight, this kind of a prep, and they throw punches at no one in particular in preparation for the fight. And it got me thinking, you know, so much of my life, I feel like in my effort to understand myself, in my effort to make sense of the things that I am and I'm not, where I've been, where I haven't been, whatever, I find myself throwing punches at no one in particular. Not even sure what I'm fighting half the time. But I know if I don't win this fight, I can't step out. So I stand in the corner fighting my shadow, putting all this energy into trying to make sense of things, right? Here's the problem. That energy is not meant to go there. That energy is there for something. And the Bible actually tells us what the energy that he's put in us is there for. We use it more often to fight ourselves than we do to actually fight the fight that's out there. We throw punches at no one in particular, thinking it's going to prep us for what we're meant to be in this world. But in reality, he's actually got energy for us to not fight. But it's for this. If you throw up Philippians, context to this is a man who had a past worth fighting to understand. He killed Christians before he made disciples. And yet, this is what he says. No, dear brothers, I have not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past. Not fighting. Not trying to make up for. But forgetting. All of my effort and energy goes to forgetting what's behind me. And looking forward to what lies ahead. See, I think God has a fight for us, but it's not you. You're not meant to be fighting you. You're not meant to be embarrassed of the things that the devil is using to keep you hidden. You're actually meant to be putting that same effort into forgetting. What if we as a church just went, we're going to forget what happened yesterday. We're going to forget what happened 3-5 years ago. We're going to forget what we are, what we're not, what we've been, what we've done, and we're going to move forward. See, I think we'd be far more effective. I think we'd be a church that actually does the basic thing that Jesus asked us to do, which is go make men what I made of you. Go make disciples of all nations. The devil uses you and your shadow and your past to disqualify you before you can even take that first step, though. So we're going to talk about how we do that. What does God want us to do, and how do we do it? How do we step? How do we take the first step? Because even that one's intimidating, right? And what does it look like? So I got 3 points for you. How we do it, what we do. You ready? First thing. Makes complete sense. Do less. There you go. Write that down. So like I said, this message came from me asking that question to God. What do you want me to do? And I remember I was standing in a worship service like this one, and I just said, God, what is it? Like, what do you, I know I'm made for more, okay? Like, and this is, mind you, I'm already serving in church a lot, heavily. Like, a lot, you know? And like, I'm still sitting there feeling like, God, there's still more. Which is cool because you know God, no matter where you are, he's always leading you to more. And I think when you actually tune into what he's doing in here, you'll see he's got another step for you. This is why we say you're never done stepping. And if you're not stepping, you're slipping. There's always more. And I was asking that question, what is it, God? And he goes, do less. And I immediately was reminded of this scene in Forgetting Sarah Marshall. So if you've seen this movie, classic comedy, dude's trying to get away from his girlfriend. They broke up. He goes to Hawaii. Turns out she's already there at the same resort with another guy, and he's just losing his mind. So he's like, I'm just going to go surfing. Naturally, right? Great option. And his surf instructor is Paul Rudd, who's kind of playing this, like, real lofty out in the, like, you know, an ocean guy type of thing. That's a thing, an ocean guy. Look it up. Google it. And he's, like, teaching him how to surf. So Jason Segel's sitting there on his surfboard, like, laying on his stomach on the sandy beach, safe and sound. And he goes, all right, what I want you to do is pop up. And so he goes, all right, and he hops up on the board. He goes, no, do less. Pop up. And he, like, jumps up, and he's like, all right, that wasn't it at all either, but do less, come on, do less. And so he just lays there, and he's like, well, now you're not doing anything at all. You got to do something. Pop up. Does it again. All right, no, that wasn't it at all, but it's okay. We'll figure it out. Let's go. And I found myself, when God said to do less, feeling that same way. I'm like, do less. Well, now you're just sitting there. You got to do something. Well, what do you mean do less? Like, I don't get it. And I feel like he dropped this phrase in my heart, and it was, it's not what you're doing, but how you're doing it that determines whether it makes or breaks you. Because the fact is, 225 pounds, that would be a lot of weight for me to hold right here in a bicep curl position. But you put that same weight on my shoulders, and I can actually squat it. I can walk with it, right? And I think a lot of times we think the weight is the problem. The weight of the mission is the problem. The heaviness of what you'd ask me to do, God, in my workplace, to be present, to be a light, that's the problem. But that's actually not the problem at all. It's actually how you're doing it that determines whether it makes or breaks you. You got to do less. See, I found this. Lately, I've been trying to get up a little bit earlier, like super early. Because when you have kids, 7 a.m. is no longer early. That's like, you're behind. They're already winning, okay? They've already gotten up and plotted how they're going to make our day terrible together. And then hug us and kiss us and make it all go away. That's our routine. So 7 a.m. is not early anymore. So I have to get up at like 5. I'm not an early riser. This is hard for me. But I found this. The mornings that I wake up and I think about every single thing that I have to do that day are the mornings that I go right back to sleep. And I'm just like, I'm out. I don't want this day to come. But you know what? The mornings where I wake up and I go, just get to the coffee maker. I shuffle my way through, eyes closed, and I just hit the button. Come on, coffee. And I go, all right, just get down. Just sit down at the table. Just open up the Bible app. Like, just get there. At least open it up. Skim it. Like, just skim it. And you know what's crazy is when I actually stop thinking of the bigness of everything that I have to do, and I focus on the small thing that God wants me to do in that moment, I'm no longer overwhelmed by the size of the mission. And even in that, I found that, like, man, those mornings where I start out and I actually eat breakfast, it's so great. I didn't think it would be. Turns out, breakfast is awesome. Not just because the food is amazing and delicious and the best food on the planet, because it is. That's why they decided, let's also eat it for lunch, because we can't let this end. And people be sleeping in, so brunch. The food is amazing for sure, but it's also the fact I've noticed that when I don't leave my house hungry, I'm far less likely to eat fast food and things that I don't want to eat. And we have this phrase that we try to say in our grow group, and we say, hey, don't leave the house hungry. Hey, that's your goal in the morning. We're not sitting here trying to do a doctoral thesis at 6 o'clock in the morning, but we're trying to eat enough so that we don't leave the house hungry. Because guess what? When you leave the house hungry, you are going to consume something. And what I've found is that when I leave hungry, the things that I actually consume end up consuming me. When I'm hungry for identity, and I'm not finding it in his word, I go, I'm going to work more. That's my answer. And guess what? Work consumes me. When I go and I haven't stopped to remind myself that, God, you love me, you care about me, you put me on this earth for a reason, I go out and I need affirmation. And then all of a sudden, before I know it, the need for affirmation starts to consume me. Why does this matter? Because we can never be effective out there if we're always trapped in here. And the moment you stop and you go, wait a second, what if I didn't think about all the millions of things that I feel like I have to do and all the people that I have to reach? And I go, what if I just this week, what if I just tomorrow morning, I go, I'm not going to leave the house hungry today. Do less. Do less. It'll free you. It's not the weight. It's not what you're carrying, but how you're carrying it. Do less. That's number one. Number two is this. Don't stress. It rhymes, okay? So you know it's going to be good. I took the time to make it rhyme. That was easy. That was easy. Too obvious. Don't stress. Here's the thing. Great Commission, okay? Facts, we are meant to change the world. That's what he's asking us to do. Because when he says, go make disciples of all nations, did you see what the disciples did? Have you read it? They did insane stuff. They prayed for people all the time and just, bam, they were healed. They had no problem preaching the word of God wherever they were. Like, they weren't just like normal everyday people. They were like, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. And then on their way. No, they were like radical people. And I think people, when you actually live as a true disciple, as a true Christian, whatever, people think it's radical Christianity, but it's actually not. It's what he's asked us to do and be. He's asked us to change the world. You don't believe me? Do that for like 2 minutes. Do what they did for like 2 minutes in the world and see how people react to you. I had a friend named Frosty. Still my friend, but he's just very far away. Everybody loves Frosty. Frosty was the man, and he moved here for 3 months just to be a part of People Church in the early days. And if you're listening, Frosty, oh, I miss you. You're the best. He had the best jokes, man. Like, he's like a big Samoan guy, so sometimes we'd be walking through the mall, and he'd be like, I'm just going to act like your bodyguard. And so we'd walk into, like, Gucci and expensive stores, and he'd be like, all right, just look at the shoes. And he'd stand behind me like this. I got so much attention, though. It was awesome. Everybody thought I had, like, money, and I was just like, I don't need it. I have 10 pairs at home. It was awesome. Frosty was the best. And we would, like, just do stupid stuff. Like, we just ride the bus together and hang out and talk. And this is the problem. Like, at this time in our church as well, we were all really pushing into, like, hey, have you noticed that you can actually pray for people and, like, Jesus heals them? God forbid you show up to a grow group with a cold in those days. Because you were in the middle and you're getting prayed for. And that cold's gone. But the thing is, we were just in that, and we were thinking the same things. We were hearing the same messages. So what happens when you're on a bus with somebody, and that's the environment you're in, and a woman walks onto the bus with a knee brace? We were, like, in the middle of a conversation. We both just went. And he goes, what are you thinking? I'm like, you know what I'm thinking. He's like, well, say what you're thinking. So I know it's what I'm thinking. I'm like, we got to pray for that lady. We have to. And, like, man, this is the crazy thing about that, though. Side note, you know when Jesus sent the disciples out, he sent them out two at a time? Because when you're with someone who's also hearing the same voice, you can never believe the lie that it's just you in your head anymore. And that's why you actually need people. That's why you need people next to you, people hearing the same God as you. Because you cannot see that and not think, we got to pray for that person. And if you don't think it, they're going to say it. So, of course, she gets off the bus. We get off the bus like 10 stops early, and we're like, hey, we just want to pray for you. And she was like, I'm good. And she's like, I'm like, no, please just let us pray. We want to pray for your knee. And she's like, I need reconstructive surgery. It's not going to happen. I'm like, I literally said, come on, what do you have to lose? And she goes, my job, and walks to. It's like, fair. I said, well, if your knee was better, you'd be better at your job. I didn't say that. I let her go. But live this long enough in the world, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, try to pray for somebody, and you'll see Jesus wants us to change the world. That it's actually what he wants us to do, because this culture is so counter to what the world is doing. Healing isn't even on the table. I need surgery. That's my answer. I need counseling. That's all I got. That's all I've got. I need the people that hurt me to undo what they did. Can you do that for me? See, they don't know the hope we have, so you try to bring it to the world, and all of a sudden you see, man, he's asking me to change everything. Man, does that get overwhelming. But this is why I say don't stress. Because I've found that the moments I'm most stressed in my life are the moments where the weight that I'm actually not meant to carry ends up on me. And I think this is a thing you grapple with the moment you become a Christian. Because God starts doing stuff immediately, starts lining things up. starts giving you, the first thing he'll do is he'll, like, you just have a different perspective on the world. It's hard to explain, but Jesus, like, he actually does something in here, and you immediately see the world differently. He gives you a dose of his heart, and all of a sudden you have compassion that wasn't there before. You start wanting to act on these things, and man, like, things start happening. God always moves. He does. And when you move on what he tells you to do, stuff happens. But I think the grapple in the beginning days of Christianity, it's like, oh, I just want to go back to normal. Like, I don't want to see the world this way. It's kind of heavy. It's heavy to see that there's so much brokenness. And I think you move on, you start going, okay, that's what it is, but God, you got that. And then next thing you know, your world, he expands it, right? So what I found is the same thing's happening. It's always just me taking the weight back on. The only difference is the world's bigger now. He's expanded my world. So it's the same thing that was always happening from day one. It feels heavier because my world is bigger. And I was never meant to carry it. And I was going through this concept in my head this week because I started my own business a few months back, and the weight of like, oh, am I going to get another client? Am I going to get another job? It's always there. And God was like, you can change the world without carrying the weight of the world. You know how we know that? Because he did it. He actually came into the world and he said, take heart, I've overcome the world. You know what that means? You can actually step into the world and you can change things without carrying the weight of it. And on the contrary, if you're carrying the weight of it, you'll never change it. You'll never change it. And I used to think this. I used to think, man, like, because I just knew the moment I step out, man, the devil's going to try to toy with me, man. He's going to do something. He's going to get in my head. And I always thought this. It was going to be, I'm going to say the wrong thing. I'm going to misquote the Bible or something. And that's the moment Jesus is like, oh, I'm coming back early because of you. I just want everybody to know I'm not with this guy. He doesn't know his stuff. How can you claim to represent me? I always thought it was going to be this big moment, right, where, like, that's how the devil was going to render me ineffective. But I don't think that's what he does. See, I think he's far more stealthy than that. I think what he does is he overwhelms you with the size of the mission because he goes, nations. How are you going to change nations? Nations? Make disciples of all nations? That's a big word. And he gets you so focused on nations, you forget about the nation you're in. He gets you so focused on the nation you're in, you forget about the city you're in. You get so focused on the city you're in, you forget about the neighborhood you're in. You get so focused on the neighborhood you're in, you forget about your neighbor. See, that's how he renders you ineffective. Because he knows if you see that neighbor, if you do what Jesus said, love your neighbor as you love yourself, I can't stop this. But what I can do is go, you'll never change a nation. You'll never change nations. You'll never be there. You're not good enough. Look at what's following you. Look at what's behind. Who? You? You know where this hit me most is I was at the grocery store, and I realized Monday morning, I'm like, every time I get groceries, headphones in, bam, I'm not there. I'm like, laser focus, don't talk to anybody. And it was at that moment I realized, man, this is actually what the devil wants me to do. Because the reason I was there was because I was so overwhelmed with my life. I didn't want to talk to anybody. Didn't want to talk to anybody. Didn't want to look at anybody in the eye. Cashier's not there. Scan my groceries and leave. It's that moment I realized the devil's actually winning right now. Because I can't just preach messages from stage. He told me to love my neighbor. He told me to love my neighbor. That'll change my neighborhood. And you know what I realized when I took my headphones out? All of a sudden, I was looking around. I was saying hi to people and smiling at people. And what's crazy is you can change somebody's day by doing that. And we go, how do we change people's lives? Change their day enough times and you've changed their life. You know why I'm up here? Pastors Chris and Audrey, people like George and Leslie, Drew and Miss, they changed my day enough times. That's what they did. They took a bad day and they said, I'm going to stop for you. I'm going to speak into that. And we think that doesn't matter, but that's a recipe for a changed life. That's a recipe for a changed city and a changed nation. Because people don't do that. People don't have the strength. That's what God's trying to do. Forget about this for a second. Look ahead. There's people that need you. There's people that need what you have. You may not think it's much, but you've got something. But you can change it without carrying the weight of it. Don't stress. Last thing is this. That's all great, right? That's all great. But what do I actually do? Still, I don't know what to do. Read my Bible a little more. Get close to God. That's cool. What do I do? This is it. Just step. Just step. And you may go, okay, that's cool, but we still haven't addressed this thing. Because when I step, it's still there. What does it mean? How do I step with this thing present? This is kind of a good news, bad news situation. Good news is God has a plan for this. Bad news is we're out of excuses. Because this does not disqualify you. In fact, he actually wants to use it. Turn up Acts for me. See, this is Peter walking through on mission, right? Focused on what's ahead, but guess what? Just like us, he had a shadow. And look at what was happening with it. As a result of the apostles' work, sick people were brought out into the streets on beds and mats so that Peter's shadow might fall across some of them as he went by. What? Crowds came from the villages around Jerusalem bringing their sick and those possessed by evil spirits, and they were all healed. The very thing that you think disqualifies you will cross paths of people and bring healing. You have no idea what your shadow is touching. See, this was God's answer to my question. He said, let your shadow touch them. That's all I want. Let your broken past touch them for a second. That's all I want. Let the thing that you think disqualifies you touch them for a second. That's all I want. The problem is this. You'll never have a shadow if you're always hiding in the shadows. I cannot stand when people say the word, I'm just blank. The moment you became a Christian, I'm sorry, just is no longer in your vocabulary. I am just a server. Well, where do you go to work? Are there people breathing at that workplace? Then you're not just a server. You've got a light that people need. You've got something that people need. And you don't even know the people you're impacting. The Bible tells us this, his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is where I focus. I go, God, I'm putting my eyes on what's ahead. Your word is my lamp. Your word is my, it lights up where I'm going. It shows me where I am. And I'm not worried about the fact that when I have a lamp, I know that there's a shadow behind me. Because I know that you've got a purpose for that too. And my job is not to focus on what he does with that. You know, that's not even just bad things. It's actually good things too. Like, I preached a message last month. Guess what that is now? It's my shadow. God's going to use it. I know he will. I preached messages at youth when Lauren and I ran youth, and it was like year two of our church, and 10 kids showed up. That's my shadow now, but I know that there are kids that were impacted by that I will never know. I will never see until I get to heaven, and I'm good with that. That's why I look at what's ahead. That's why we need to look at what's ahead, because God's actually going to deal with that, and not even just deal with it. He's actually going to use it to bring healing. The parts of you that you think are unlovable, he's going to use to love people. The brokenness that you feel you can't escape, he's actually going to use it to bring healing. But that'll never happen as long as we stare at that and go, I can't step. I can't be out in the light. I can't be exposed. You know why? Why we keep going as a church? This is it. Because we know and we've seen that our shadow has actually touched people that we never thought imaginable. We've got a following in Brazil. Brazil. Do you think that was actually in our, like, game plan as a team? We're like, okay, so we're going to preach this message on this day, and this Brazilian guy is going to love it, and he's going to show all his friends, and we're going to take Brazil. That's straight up God using our shadow. And this is why we keep building, because you know what? The bigger the building is, the bigger the shadow it casts. And we know there are people that are going, God, I hope that shadow crosses Barcelona. God, I hope that shadow makes its way to my brokenness. Man, I just hope I can get... Come on, let's just lay in the street and just hope the shadow gets us. We are going to impact people that I believe we will not know fully as a church until we get to heaven. And God lines them up and he says, man, this person, they heard a podcast. They heard a podcast and it saved them in their darkest moment. Shadow. This person heard your story about how you were an insecure middle schooler and how you got bullied. And up until that point, they didn't think they could live a life that people would flock to. But they saw your story, and it changed them. It changed their life. We'll never know what our shadow touches. This is the thing I love, man. Man, Pastor Chris said this morning and it just sparked a thought. You know, in the Old Testament, when someone was unclean, when they had leprosy, when they had something, it was such a thing that your shadow could not even touch them. That was the law. And I love that when Jesus enters the picture, the message that he says to me in this is that the places that you once could not go are no longer off limits. The things that at one point, if you touch them, they would make you unclean, they're no longer off limits. You can bring your shadow there now, and the shadow won't affect you. It's actually going to heal them. We've got to step in spite of who we are. The number one lie the devil will hit you with is he'll make you believe it's because of. I think the moment grace enters into our life, Jesus, it's like, okay, I get it. In spite of who I am, you love me. In spite of who I am, you'll use me. But let me tell you something. That mentality can so easily become because of. The longer you serve, the longer you do, the more things you accomplish, it becomes because of. God, I know you're only using me because of the fact that I preach. I know you're only using me because of the fact that I'm cleaning up my life. So what happens when that's your mindset and you make a mistake? I'm out. Back to the shadows. You turn your focus on you. You know, this happened to me once. I was on stage like this. I was emceeing. And man, I was beat up with insecurity. And I said this so many times. You think a big platform will take away your insecurity, but it only makes it bigger. Your insecurity grows as you grow. If you're getting bigger and your life's getting bigger, your insecurity's right there. It's all proportional. And I remember I was emceeing. And I was like so consumed with the fact that I thought I had done terribly. I flubbed up my words. I looked so stupid up there. And I was in the back. I was just stewing. I was just like, why? Why am I even here? And then, man, after church, so many people were just talking about that moment, that prayer moment up front, the very moment that I emceed, and going, that was the most beautiful moment. People were weeping. People were like hugging each other and just like, man, you could see that people were getting healed. It's the very thing that I begged God to use me for. It was happening in front of me, but I was so focused on what I thought I wasn't that I actually missed it. And this is what keeps me in check. Let me tell you, God will use you. He will use you. The only difference is if you're focused on you, you won't see it. You won't see where he's using you because you're just like, this thing and me and I'm not. Meanwhile, people all around you, they've lined up and your shadow's crossing them and they're getting healing and they're getting inspired by the very fact that you're going to church and you're not a church person, they're getting inspired. So stop with the pressure on yourself. Because we're meant to step, but we're meant to do it without the weight of the world on our shoulders. And God will use it all. He'll use your shadow. He'll use your past. He'll use your weaknesses. The only question is, will we go? Will we keep going? Don't care if you've gone 100 times before. Don't care if you used to be the most outgoing person in your workplace. Where are you at right now? Because there's more. And that burning desire that he's put in you, he's put it in there for a reason. Keep acting on it. Stop believing that you don't know enough scripture. Stop believing that you've disqualified yourself before you even move. Because if you're disqualified, I'm disqualified. You know what I think people need? People need to see a bunch of Christians with shadows that look like theirs. Because you better believe that they're stepping out too and they're seeing the same thing. And they're going, nah, I'm not good enough. But the second they see yours, well, he's got one. Well, he's got a pass. He's got things. Maybe this can happen. I think people draw more inspiration from our weakness than we realize. And we've got to step into it. Does that speak to you tonight? Come on, can we give God a shout of praise and stand to our feet?
Church, I hope this spoke to you today. Jake had a brilliant message with some really great thoughts. Do less, don't stress, and keep stepping. Ask yourself how that applies this week and keep stepping out. Church, we love you. We hope that this message keeps speaking to you. If you're part of our digital church, you know how we give. We build this by those that are generous, and you could give either through our text 844-294-8044. Otherwise, you could go to the description in this podcast and you'll find the link there. Again, church, we just thank you for building with us. We thank you that you're a part of our digital community and we are inspired. I hope this message speaks to you. Let's keep seeing how God can move through our life this week.